Now it's on.
Can you hear me now? Romans chapter 7. By the way, when you come in here on Wednesday night and Sunday nights, always be reminded that while we are in here, there's always people in the nursery working. That there's people in master clubs working. There's people in discipleship class tonight working. And so be in prayer for all these different ministries we have going on. And while we're in here on Sunday mornings, there's children's church going on. There's nursery always going on. And we ought to be thankful for all the workers that God's blessed our church with. And always be mindful of that. Sometimes I know we sit in here and we forget that there's a lot going on around us. And so we ought to be thankful. And I'm glad we have a church with so many great workers, and thank God for you. Well, in the late 1800s, I'll read this to you, based on the story, not a true story, a story by Robert Louis Stevenson, Dr. Henry Jekyll believed that there are two distinct sides to men, a good and evil side. He believed that by separating the two, man can become liberated. He succeeded in his experiments with chemicals to accomplish this transformation into Mr. Hyde. And so we see to commit his heinous crimes. That is a quote from one of the things about, if you know anything about, especially in the 1930s, now I believe it's 1931, there was the movie came out, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You remember that, right? Some of y'all were born then. Some of you wasn't. And I remember watching it as a kid. And I even went back today, and through the modern technology of YouTube, I watched the first little set of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde to be reminded again, is that we all deal with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in our own lives. And I think if you ever watched the old movie, now I don't know if there was newer ones come out, those are probably not no good, but the old ones depicted a man who got some potion. I think of the Incredible Hulk too when I think of that. You know, in Frankenstein, all those movies, we always think of that. But as you think about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you think about this man, this doctor, who took a chemical, a potion, and drank it. And through drinking that, if you remember in the 1931, he was looking in the mirror when he drank it. And then he became like most of us men when we wake up in the morning, what we really look like. The inward man came out of Dr. Jekyll. And so Mr. Hyde became pretty prominent in his life. And then if you remember the movie or you read the book, you'll remember one thing. Remember, he tried to go back, revert back to the old way, quit taking the potion. But guess what happened? It didn't work, right? Remember the story? Some of y'all, have y'all ever read the book or watched the movie? I don't read books, but I watched the movie. You know, I remember in high school they wanted us to read Forrest Gump. They gave me the book, said, here, read it. I said, why should I read it? There's a movie out about it. You know, but through this, we'll see it kind of pictures our lives. Notice, if you will, in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we'll begin in verse 14. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Now, by the way, this is Paul, the apostle, talking, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, who started numerous churches, who was used of God in such a miraculous way, and he said, I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, verse 15, we know these verses, but I want to read them to us again. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Does that sound like our lives? By the way, this portion of Scripture was not written by a newborn babe in Christ. This portion of Scripture was not written by some man who was living in sin. This was written by Paul the Apostle. This was written by one of the greatest writers in the New Testament. And he said, the things I want to do, the things that, notice the word he uses, the things I hate, that's what I end up doing. I thought to myself as I read this, God help me, if Paul had problems with his flesh, then I must have a terrible problem. I have Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde living within me. And so do you. And we'll go through this. Notice, if you will, verse 16, he says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, notice what Paul said, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You ever have those moments in your life where you want to do good? I have them every day. I set out to do good. I set out to say, all right, I'm fixing to get on 35, Brother Feaser. I'm going to do good. When I get to 287 and 35, to do good is gone. Amen. I start thinking, why didn't I take Harmon Road? Some of y'all live around here, you'll understand that. You skip the traffic jam. Or you wake up in the morning and you say, Lord, help me to do good today. But to perform that sometimes is the hardest part of our life. Notice what else Paul said. He said in verse 19, he said, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 20 says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. By the way, evil is always present in the life of a Christian. And you have to choose which one you're going to be. You have to choose if you're going to be Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. And we'll look at that here in a little bit. But notice what else he says, verse 22. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. By the way, if you ever want to study the law of God, what Paul is talking about here in verse 22, read Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is one of the most, talks about the Word of God, the law of God, the Word of God, and the man that delighteth in the law of God. And you can go on, you can make a whole sermon out of that, but notice verse 23, but I see another law of my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The law of sin, the presence of sin is always with us. Every day of our life, we deal with which one we're going to be. Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? We deal with those things daily in our life. And Paul gives us a great illustration of this through his life. Paul said, I want to do good, but I don't end up doing good. When I end up, you know, so many times in my life I say, man, I'm going to do this. We usually do this around January the 1st. Well, this year, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And guess what we do? Not that. I thought about this a few years ago. I told my wife, I said, first thing on my list, I'm going to say, I am not going to diet. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to pray because it seems like I do the opposite of what I say I'm going to do. I mean, we ought to try a little reverse psychology sometimes with ourselves. But sometimes in our life, the things that we list down and we say, God, I want to do this, are the things sometimes we end up not doing at all. And sometimes when we make that list up, I believe the devil's right there saying, we'll see about that. How true is that in our life? That we either live by Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. Matthew 26:41, you write that down. It says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? It's weak. The flesh that we live in is a weak, a temple, a tabernacle that we live in. So many people today think, well, I got it whooped. I got it whooped. I've seen people many times. Hey, by the way, it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. You never whoop sin. Sin will whoop you long before you whoop it. And can I say that you'll either be Dr. Jekyll or you'll be Mr. Hyde, whichever one you want to be. By the way, both, if you watch the movie, both of them were ugly. And that depicts us sometimes, amen? When we live in this flesh, we should live by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God and by the power of God. We are busy doing right. If we are busy doing right, we won't have time for wrong. You know what I find myself doing a lot of times? Thinking about doing right, but not doing it at all. Boy, isn't that true in our life? We want to do good, but we don't do good. Let me give you three things tonight. I'll show you through these scriptures and through a few more scriptures. Turn, if you will, over to Galatians. another book that Paul wrote, Galatians chapter 5. I know this verse is familiar, but I want us to look at it tonight. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. I want us to notice the first thing, the conflict. The conflict. There's a conflict within us, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde syndrome. Notice, if we will, in verse 17 of chapter 5 of Galatians, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." And these are, notice this, are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, don't close your Bible right there, because there's another verse after that. I like the "but" that's after that. We'll read it here in a minute. But notice what he said, that there's two things going on in everybody's life that's saved. There's a fight between this old flesh, which is not saved, which is not sanctified. And it's warring against what? The Spirit in you. The Spirit of God that lives in you. The saved part of you. It's always warring with each other. By the way, I think this also, that in some Christian's life, there's not much of a war going on. The Spirit's done waved the white flag, said, "I give up." And we shouldn't be that way. We should always notice, but notice verse 18, I'm glad it's there. He says, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law." Basically, if you don't want to live as Mr. Hyde, you want to live as Mr. Jekyll does, you don't yield to that flesh. You must be led and must walk and live in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit doesn't sin. The Spirit is that which God hath quickened you with and made you alive. But this old flesh, this robe of flesh, it's not saved, my friend. You know, the hardest thing in life sometimes is just telling the flesh no. And trying to put it dormant in your life. The conflict that's in us. There's a conflict between the saved spirit and the lost flesh. The flesh loves sin and the spirit hates sin. Have you ever been standing at the buffet and went into war with yourself? Amen. You hear the voice whispering, "Don't do it." Then the other one on your other shoulder, you know, you've seen the cartoons, it says, "Oh, that banana pudding looks good." Then the other one says, "No, don't do it." And guess what you do? Your hand starts going for it. Your plate's ready. Your spoon's ready. Who's going to win? I know who wins in my life. Amen. My wife does. When she slaps my hand, says, "Don't do it." You know? And you think about it in life sometimes. You know, just to go down the street sometime and have to make a decision, or just to be in your room, or to be at church sometimes, we have to make a decision whether we're going to live like Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, whether we're going to live in the Spirit or live in the flesh, and make a decision there. And this was, of course, going to be a youth sermon tonight, so I'm going to adjust it a little bit. But in youth life, one bad decision can affect their whole life. But that's not just true with them. That's true with all of us. Is that all we got to be doing is going down the road and thinking, "Man, I wish I had that, and I'm willing to do anything to get that." And we allow the Spirit to lie dormant in our life, and all of a sudden Mr. Hyde comes out. By the way, Mr. Hyde's a roaring lion in your life. He wants to come out and roar. He wants. By the way, I'm not going to go there, but I'll say this. I'll tone it down. Is in our life, we have to make a choice. Good or evil? Well, you say, "Preacher, I just don't like to make a decision." You just made a decision. When you don't make a decision whether to do good or to do bad, you made the decision to do bad when you make a non-decision. You ever been driving down the road? I'm kind of like a preacher. All my illustrations revolve around food. You're driving around town, and it's getting around lunchtime. What do you? You know, there's two main decisions you got to make every day: what's for lunch, what's for dinner. And you're going down the road, and it's 12 o'clock, and you're thinking, "Oh, what do you, honey? What you want to eat?" She said, "Well, I don't care. Whatever you want to eat." Well, my thing, my kids know that in our vehicle, if somebody says, "I don't care," I just drive. I just keep driving until somebody gives in. And usually my wife will say, okay, let's go here. That's not really what she wants, but she makes a rash decision, and so do I sometimes, amen? And sometimes in our life, we're like that. When we decide not to make a decision, guess what? The old devil's going to make the decision for you. And can I say the flesh is going to win that war? Because listen to me, to live in the flesh is to do nothing. You get me? By the way, you don't have to seek evil to do evil. All you have to do is not seek good and seek righteousness. Because listen, there evil, Paul said, evil is present with me. It's always there. By the way, good's not always around like we think it is. You listening tonight? Sometimes we got to go seeking to do good. Have you ever done this in your life? Said, all right, Lord, today I want you to send somebody by my way that I can tell about Christ. You know what? Sometimes He does that, right? But sometimes the Lord tells us to go. Go out there and tell them. You ever been sitting in your office or something and see out the window and the Lord just lay that person on your heart that you see out that window or across the street or wherever it may be, that waitress? I tell you, I've been sitting in a restaurant before. I've been sitting somewhere before and the Lord say, all right, go speak to them. I'm like, Lord, this is embarrassing. There's a lot of people around. And you go over there and you hand them that track and they start boo-hooing and saying, I tell you what, tonight I knew I was going home. Me and my husband just separated. My kids, I mean, I've had people, you know, they're sometimes like, oh, wow, going to be here a while. But you know what? I'm glad God put me in that because I asked for it. Sometimes God doesn't bring good to us. Sometimes we got to go after good. The pursuit of good. The pursuit of good. By the way, the Bible, you can have a King James Bible. You can have a Scofield edition. You can have this edition, the Pilgrim's Bible. Whatever you want sitting on your mantle. But can I tell you, just because you got it in your hand, just because you put it in your car, just because you put it on your lap, just because you set it on your table, doesn't mean that, hey, it's going to help you any. You gotta read it. You gotta read it. You say, well, if you want to do wrong, what I do? Don't do anything. Nothing. And guess what? Wrong will find you. Can I just be honest as Paul is honest? Even when I want to do good, I end up stepping in it. Amen? I never forget one year, they came to me and said, Mr. Wiggins, we want you and your church to be in the parade. Or, you know, it was going to be in the Christmas parade. I said, hallelujah. And so me and the adults were going to walk beside the float. Kids were going to be on the float. We had a little manger scene stuff set up. It was beautiful, nice. And I got there and I got the little map. Guess who we were behind? Horses. Can I say I was there to do good? But I had to watch even there where I stepped. Amen. And can I say sometimes in life, you in the pursuit of doing good, everybody knows where I'm going. I like your smiles. In the pursuit of doing good, you still have to watch where you're going because listen to me, the devil lays landmines around. Amen. Amen. I could give you other illustrations, but I'll stop there. Yes, honey, I'll keep the kids. I want to do good. Kids smell dad or something about dad. It causes them to do stuff. Amen? Even in a pursuit of good sometimes, it doesn't go the way we think it ought to go. Amen? Go pick them up out of that cradle. Whoo, when's mom going to be back? You're calling her. That was days before we had cell phones. You know, you couldn't call them then. You're like, I don't know where she's at. Right now, I can take my phone and find out where my wife's at just like that. Then you cleaned it. You changed it. Amen. Listen to me tonight. Is that in our life, there's always that conflict. But number two, let me give you this. The characters. Paul said there's two characters in his life. There's the conflict, but there's the characters in our life. There's the character of good. The picture of Mr. Jekyll or Dr. Jekyll. Then there's the character of bad in our life. And that's Mr. Hyde. And we choose whether we feed the one and starve the other. And in our life, sometimes we should live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit as the Bible says. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, listen to me. Our lives ought to be so consecrated and concentrated with Jesus Christ and with the Spirit of God in our life is that the flesh begins to dwindle up and go dormant in our life. You know, if you ever had on our, where we used to live, we used to have apple trees, plum trees, pear trees, fig trees. We had all kinds of trees. And guess what happens when wintertime comes? You go out there, there's no fruit on those pear trees or on the plum trees that we used to have. We used to love those plums. We used to have what was called, if you're from the east side, you know what scuffinons are. They're, y'all would call them Mustang grapes here in Texas, I think. But they're grapes. And boy, they're good. But when you go out there during the wintertime, guess what? There's no fruit on there. It's dormant. It's not dead, it's just dormant. And can I say that's the way sin needs to be in our life? Sin's always going to be there. The presence of sin is there. Hey, the flesh is always going to be there, but it can go dormant in our life. But you know what it takes for it to sprout out again? Just for us one day to not live in the Spirit of God, not pray and read our Bible and seek God's will in our life, ask for forgiveness where we fail Him, and quickly get out of sin when we do, and say, God, I'm sorry. And we come over and we say, I'm just going to live in it for a while. Guess what? That blossoms, they'll come. They come quick. The fruit of sin, by the way, happens in seconds. The fruit of the Spirit, sometimes takes years. Amen? I've not got it all down yet. And by the way, if Paul didn't have it down, neither do we. Paul said there's two characters in my life. There's the character to do good. There's the character to do bad. But let me give you the last thing, the consent, the permission. There has to be permission given to one or the other. There has to be permission given to one or the other. And look in Romans chapter 6, verse 8, if you will. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Notice there he says, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. Now, Paul said many times, and I didn't count them up, but many times Paul said, we got to be dead. Dead with Christ, we got to be dead. And basically what he's saying, we're dead to sin. Many times Paul said, we're to be dead to sin, but alive through Christ. For me to live is Christ. That is our should be our life verse. It's for me to live is Christ. And Christ lives in me. Why does He live in me? So I can live the Christian life. So I can fight the flesh. So I can say no to sin. By the way, you don't have to sin. You will sin, but you don't have to. Why? Because you got the Spirit of God, you got the Word of God, you got the power of God, you got the Spirit of God, you got all the ingredients. But listen, when we live the life that is spiritually consecrated, set apart, when I think of living in the Spirit, I think of just saying no to me, no to my will, and saying yes to God. That's it. And when you say yes to God and you say yes to God's will, the power of God rests in us. The Spirit of God works through us and fills our life and takes control of the horn or takes control of the reins in our life and directs our life. But when we say, when we don't give the Holy Spirit permission to work in our life and God permission to work in our life, guess what happens? The reins that once held in the Spirit's hands drop. Now we come over here and we live by this right here. By the way, Paul said, in this thing dwelleth no good. Nothing good ever has come out of the flesh. By the way, marriages are ruined by flesh. Nobody here tonight can say our marriage was ruined because we lived in the Spirit. Nobody here tonight can say, no teenager here tonight can say, I failed at being a great example in the youth department because I lived in the Spirit. No, the reason we fail and because we lose our testimony and because we lose our marriages and because we lose kids is because we choose to live a life in the flesh. But I think also we live the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. At church, I'm Dr. Jekyll. But at the house, I'm Mr. Hyde. Mr. Harry Hyde. Here I am. Right? It was so amazing whenever I was in evangelism there for a little while until I got in debt too far. And I realized very quickly, you meet people, and when I was in evangelism, our family would stay at people's houses a lot. And that's fine and dandy to me. We love saving churches money. That was why we were doing what we did. And helping churches to be a blessing. But sometimes you go to the house. And we'd have to huddle up in prayer meetings sometimes because you'd hear things going on in the house. I was thinking, boy, at church, How are y'all doing? Oh, wow. We're doing great. Boy, at home, they drank the potion. And it wasn't number 9. Potion number, whatever it's called. Hey, man, it wasn't the good one. They took of the world and of the flesh. They allowed the flesh to take control. Hey, listen, we all live like that. We all have moments in our life where Dr. Jekyll's ruling it and the Spirit of God's ruling in our life and we're living that spiritual life. But sometimes we choose not to do anything or we choose not to give permission, consent to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God, to the will of God. And guess what happens? The old flesh. Well, when I think of the flesh, I think of the Hulk. Remember when he used to get mad? Wasn't until he got mad that the Hulk came out of him. I'm bringing up all the... I'm talking about the old one, by the way. New stuff I care less about. The old stuff, remember he... Somebody kind of pushed him a little bit. He was a nice guy, right? Until somebody made him mad, and guess what happened? Reminds me of my life, not the green muscle guy. But somebody kind of pushes you the wrong way. All of a sudden, Mr. Hyde comes out of us. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. Paul said, I want to do good, but I end up doing... Here was a man who said that I'm free from all men's blood. Here's a man who wrote that God used instrumentally to write most of the New Testament. Here's the man who God used while we're here. The Gentile people are here tonight because of Paul, the apostle. And Paul said, hey, guess what? Of all the sinners, guess who I am? I'm chief. Paul said he's chiefest of sinners. And I tell you what it does to Michael Wiggins. It puts me on my knees thinking, oh God help me. If Paul was chief, I don't know what I must be. Because Paul was way above me. If there was ever a man that walked this earth that was a great man other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a man born of a man and woman of this earth that was great, it was Paul the apostle. Don't let us ever forget who he was. He was a murderer. He was a persecutor of the church and God saved him. And Paul said, your grace is sufficient for me. And Paul lived his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so consecrated of living his life for Jesus Christ. But yet we see here in Romans chapter 7 that Paul said, in me dwelleth no good thing. And I'm thinking, God help me. God help me. By the way, none of us here tonight are perfect. And you won't be perfect until you see Jesus. Right? So how do we live this life? Let me give you this real quick and I'm done. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you will, please look at verse 31. How do we live? Now I know I gave you kind of a silly illustration of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but I think maybe we can get the picture tonight. Is that how do we say no to Mr. Hyde? How do we say no to the flesh tonight? Here's what Paul said he did in verse 31. He says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice the last part. We use this a lot. He said, I die daily. By the way, to live the Christian life is to die daily. For you to be able to live the Christian life, every day you got to die. You die to what? Die to self. Die to the flesh. You got to crucify it every morning, every day. Notice what else Paul said in Galatians. And I kind of alluded to it a while ago. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. Notice what Paul said. This was the key to his life. This was the key to Paul living the Christian life. Verse 20 said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Back in Romans chapter 7, there's two things I think that also tell us how Paul lived his life and how Paul was at the end of his life. He said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. I'm done. I lived the Christian life. I did the best I could. Here it is. There's two things I want you to notice. Verse 15. Notice the last part of that. He says, but what I hate. Back in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, he says, but what I hate, that do I. By the way, you must hate sin. It must make you sick. It must make you nauseated. You have to hate sin. Paul said, the thing I hate, I don't like sinning. I don't like going against God and against God's Word. I hate it. But he says, I end up doing it. By the way, if you don't hate it, you'll do it more often. Husbands, you ever say, I hate going to the mall. I hate shopping. But you end up doing it anyway. It happens. You ever say, man, I hate doing that. I hate doing that. And you find yourself some days, man, I'm doing the very same thing. You ever looked at your parents? My parents have flaws. I know y'all don't believe that. But I know growing up, I always said, Lord, I don't want to ever do that. I don't want to ever do that. My parents did that. I won't ever do that one. I won't ever do that one. And guess what you end up doing? You find yourself doing the same thing your parents did. I don't like it. I hate it. I hated it. I hated it. But listen to me. Think if you didn't hate it, how much you would do it. Paul said, I hate. But notice this. I love this one. Notice in verse 22. Here's the key to it, my friends. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul said, I feed, I nourish the spirit that is within me. While we're thinking about it, turn to Psalm 119, verse 9, I think it is. Psalm 119, 9. This has been my life verse if I ever sign anything. I always put Psalm 119, 9 on there. It's been my verse since I was young. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. That's how you live the life, my friend. You've got to immerse yourself in the Word of God. You got to take the Word of God and feed your soul and feed your spirit. Why? Because you have to die to yourself. You have to die to your will. You have to die to this old flesh. Mr. Hyde has to die. By the way, you've always heard the two things. Whatever you feed lives. Whatever you don't feed dies. You feed the flesh. Hey, listen to me. That's why it's so important to watch what you watch. Listen to what you're listening to. I used to preach a sermon every year. Watch what you're watching and listen to what you're listening to. Think about that for a moment. By the way, that's the key to the Bible, the New Testament. Watch what you're watching. Amen. Listen to what you're listening to. That's the thing, is that sometimes we don't even realize the things we allow to infiltrate our minds and our heart. Matter of fact, Paul alludes to it. He talks about the mind. He said, it starts with my mind, and then before I know it, my members are doing it. I start thinking about it long before I start doing it. Amen? What do you tell the old devil? No. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, where is he fleeing to? Just around the block. He's coming back. Amen. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. He's going to make a lap around the block, come around again. Guess what you do again? You resist him again. You resist him again. Hold to God. Cling to God, the Bible says, and he'll cling to you. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, which one? Which one won today? Which one won this week? Which one won this year? This year's almost over with, by the way. Which one do you feed? The Spirit lives off the Word of God. The flesh lives off the lack of the Word of God, lack of the power of God, and the lack of the Spirit of God in our life. Which one are you tonight? Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, by the way, aren't you glad you ain't got to go behind some curtain somewhere and say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned 20 times today, and then tell somebody your life story? I'm glad we don't have to do that. Lord, I'd be a miserable man if I had to sit behind some curtain and hear everybody's problems all day long. Could you imagine? Like, good gravy, this world's in worse shape than I thought it was. I got enough problems of my own. I'm just glad that we can go boldly before the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that if He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, if we just confess it to Him, not to me, not to pastor, not to anybody here tonight, but just go to God and say, you know what, I've been living like Mr. Hyde. God will know what you're talking about. You say, I want to live more like you. I want to live more like Christ. And less like I want to live. By the way, this life is not about me and you. Aren't you glad God don't let you have your way all the time? If He would, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'm glad that somewhere in my life, I quit yielding to the flesh and I started yielding to the Spirit of God. Paul said, things I want to do, I don't do them. By the way, if Paul had problems, guess what? So do me and so do you. How do we get help? We die daily. We say no to this flesh. And we say no to the devil. And we say yes to God and to His Word, to His will. And we just keep going. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Musicians come. Brother Larry comes. We'll have a moment of invitation. After we pray, Father, we thank You. We love You. And God, how we all deal with this situation in our life of having two characters that are present. And Lord, which one we give permission and consent to is the one who wins. But God, we thank You that Your mercies are new every day. And Lord, that every day we have the opportunity to start over again. Lord, even during the day, God, when we mess up and we entertain thoughts of wrong things, or Lord, we step into sin, thank You, God, that through Your convicting power, the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can get back on right track and, Lord, not live in that flesh. But God, I thank You for that. And Lord, we ask that You bless each and every one here tonight. God, maybe they're just dealing with some situations or whatever it may be, God. Lord, maybe tonight they just need to come and, Lord, just renew their vows to You. Lord, I ask that You help us now. In Jesus' name, as we sing Him.